thank you, Lord, that you are already here, Lord, that you've come in with everyone here, Lord, and we just we thank you so much that you live in us, that you operate through us, and we just have your way in this service, in Jesus' name.
I just wanted to sing it, I guess. Psalm 96 was one of the chapters God gave me for today. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his miraculous deeds among all people. We are called to praise his name, to lift him up, to exalt him, and that's what we want to do this morning, is to just shower him with our praise and our thanksgiving this morning. Let's do it together, guys.
Thank you.
I'm going to keep this short and simple. We're going to do tithes and offerings. And if you want to give, you can give in the basket. You can give on akbridgeofhope.com. Or you can do the blue boxes in the back there. So why do we give? Do we give to get? I think we give to give. We give out of thanksgiving. Amity said about responding. You know, we respond to God, and you know, I just encourage you just to respond even with your finances, and do that out of your thing, out of thankfulness, not to get something. You're trying to buy God's healing. You're not trying to buy anything from Him. He gives it freely. So I just encourage you right now. We're just going to go ahead and sing this next song, and we'll take the offering.
church. The Lord has put on my heart. Listen to that. You are worthy of it all. When we sing that, we need to be looking up to Him. So when we sing that, lift up your hands during the day when you're walking on the street. Something happens, good or bad. Lift up your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. You are worthy of it all. And I am just so blessed to be here today, thankful today. And I look at you guys, and I'm telling you, you guys are beautiful. But your beauty is because you have the Lord inside of you. So as a people, we need to show that. And so thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Isaiah 6, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord in His temple, and His train filled it. And remember Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And then the angel came, touched his lips with a coal from the altar. The altar where the sacrifice was made. And I want to remember a couple things. Where did Jesus dwell? Where did God dwell? Where did He say, I will meet you at this place? Do you remember? We spoke about it months ago. The mercy seat, right? That was where His glory dwelled, was above the mercy seat. Well, what was on the mercy seat? Blood. And blood. And blood. And blood. And it came from off that altar and was put on that mercy seat. And so when Isaiah's eyes are open and he looks into that temple and he sees the glory of God, what does he see? He sees Him over the mercy seat where blood has been applied. And Jesus in John chapter 12, when He's talking about Isaiah telling this story, He says He said this because He saw the glory of Jesus. Didn't say He saw the glory of the Father, said He saw the glory of Jesus in that picture, in that Holy of Holies. But what was that? That's the Lamb laying on that altar out front with the coal that touched His lips brought in and the Lamb sprinkled on that, the blood sprinkled on that mercy seat. John, remember John, the Apostle John? The one that Jesus loved? What a presumptuous name, right? Spent his whole time with his head on Jesus' chest. Leaning on His chest. And he gets to see a picture of that in Revelation 5. And I want us to read it together so that we understand what we're remembering when we remember this. I saw on the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and to look at it. And I wept much because no one was found worthy to open the book and read the scroll or to look at it. The significance of the scroll is it's the story of everything, right? It's the story of life. It's the story of God's interaction. It's the story of the plan for me. And no one can get at it. What does John say? I wept much. Keep going. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seal. So what's John looking for? A lion. Right? I'm looking for a lion. Next verse. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. What is Jesus' identity that gives Him authority? His identity as a lamb. What identity do you a lamb. You are a sacrifice. And when Isaiah looked in that temple and saw God, I want to keep reading. There's some more things we need to read before we get on. Spill the beans. A lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Notice that? God didn't give it to him. He came and took it. That's authority. You don't get to walk up to the creator of heaven and earth and snatch something out of his hand unless you have been given authority to do so. Just going to say. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, golden bowl full of incense, which is the prayers of the saints. This is the first song they sing. They sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." And then the next song, "And I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice the second song, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, everything that's in them I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" Someday, I'm going to hear a whale speak and say that. That's what it says. Everything in the tree, every in the sea, every creature, you're going to hear a bear in his tongue give glory to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. I want you to notice that. There are two separate things, but they now go together. They are inseparable. The one who is on the throne with all authority and to the Lamb. So when Isaiah looked in there and he saw the train of the Lord filling the temple, he suddenly saw something inseparable. The one who sits on the throne and the Lamb. That changes everything. The whole story in that scroll that is so full, it's written all over it, and on the outside even, there wasn't enough room. That story is about a God who gave his lamb. That's his lamb, right? Do we get that? Do we get that creation is waiting? A squid is dying to sing about me. The glory of God revealed in me. Are we ready for that? Do we understand that's what's going on here? That's what we're remembering this morning? God's Lamb given freely, and because he gave himself freely, he has all authority. All authority. We should stand in that place. So when we sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," that's holy he was in the past forever and ever. That's holy he is now. That's holy he will be forever and ever. Remember the seraphim, the burning ones? Got six, took three pairs of wings, six wings. Two, he covers his eyes. He's not worthy to gaze fully on the glory that is God. Two, he covered his body. His body is not able to fully take the gaze of the Father, or he will be consumed. And with two, he is ready to do what is asked. With two, he will fly. That's where we should be. Our eyes looking at the one who we can only see through a veil. But we know he's there. We know he has all authority. A posture of submission, knowing that if he were to turn his gaze straight on me, it would consume me. But yet I will remain ready, my wings ready to fly, because of who he is and what he has accomplished through his Lamb. To the one that sits on the throne and to his Lamb be glory forever and ever. Father, what a story.
refocusing, right? Whatever's going on in our lives, in our families, in the world, He's above it all. He's Lord. Yeah. Be still and behold Him. So good. Thank you so much, worship team. Yeah. Ah, good stuff coming. You ready? This Friday, those who are willing, at the Heart to Heart Pregnancy Resource Center, they again could use some servants, and they're calling on the body of Christ to stop by between 3 and 6 and serve there. If you don't know where it is, in Eagle River, kind of the strip mall by Subway and Taco Bell, that area. So if you need more information, contact beautiful lady back there with the black hat on. She can give you more information. So that's this Saturday, 3 to 6. And I will let you talk about, that's Friday night, 3 to 6. You got the Saturday thing. I'll let you talk about that in a minute. Next Sunday, we're going to have family Thanksgiving. Woohoo! So now the church provides the turkeys and hams. The rest of the family, that's you guys, we need all the other good stuff that you like to have with those turkeys and hams, okay? So there are sign-up sheets in the foyer on the ledge. Please sign up for items to bring. We want to have a nice feast together. So be generous. And also, I could use help Saturday morning at 10, setting up, getting things ready. So then after church, we got a really smooth transition to get in there and get going. If you're able to help set up Saturday at 10, appreciate it. Also need help with people that can roast turkeys. I need 5 more people that are willing. We can get the turkeys to you. And if you're willing to roast them, have them ready, contact me. Okay? Mark and Ann Tubbs. We love these guys. We are so blessed to have them come back. November 19th, it's a Friday night at 7, Saturday night at 6, and then Sunday the 21st at 10 a.m. So mark your calendars. Get your hearts ready to receive some good stuff from them. We have 2 weeks before the deadline for the canned corn. Same deadline for Operation Christmas Child, which we're going to hear a little bit more of in a minute. So 2 things coming up to be prepared for. So I'll let Austin and then John and Tanya, and then where's Annie? Annie has one also. More stuff.
Okay, good morning. That's a lot of announcements, so I'll be quick. Is anyone excited about winter? I am, and here's why. I really like the summer, but I get really tired, and I find it really easy for me personally to get out of alignment spiritually a little bit, and that's why I kind of welcome the winter. So that being said, we're going to kick off Men of Hope next Saturday. I know it's a little bit short notice. I'll try to do a better job in the future of getting the word out sooner. It's going to be right here. I think we're going to aim for downstairs, if you're okay with that, where the kids meet. I kind of like following the kids from the fire that they're stirring up downstairs. So that classroom right, you know, go down the stairs, hang a right. It's going to be at 1 o'clock. We will be done by 2:30. What are we going to do? I don't know. That's the beauty of it. We're going to pray. We are going to be together. We're going to fellowship. We're going to see kind of what God wants to do. The intent is to cultivate authentic union vertically and horizontally. I have found that the strength of my union with Jesus is probably the defining variable in my life. And so I want us all to walk in a greater union. All of us. But the men, that's going to be our focus next Saturday. All right? So I'll put something on Facebook as well. Again, next Saturday, 1 o'clock downstairs. Thanks.
For anyone who missed our first announcement, I'm Tanya Butchkovsky, and my husband John is back there, and we have been involved with Operation Christmas Child, which is a ministry of Samaritan's Purse, for at least 10 years, I think. And it's just such an amazing ministry all over the world, getting the gospel out and sharing the love of Christ with eventually all nations. And so if you don't know what it is, you pack a shoebox, any kind of little shoebox, with toys and school items or whatever the Lord leads you to put in. And in each box, when they process it, the gospel message gets put into every box. And also, for many of the communities, the kids also have the option of attending a six-week discipleship course called The Greatest Journey. And that's what this video will show you. Like to make specific donations to help fund the Greatest Journey, you can also do that on their website, SamaritansPurse.org. You can build a shoebox online. And we have 2 weeks, two more Sundays. So the Sunday before Thanksgiving is the deadline.
Before you go, you can stay here. This is probably the most important announcement you're going to hear today. It's Avery Skelly's 7th birthday today. Yeah. Love you. So proud of you. Glad I know you, and now you're glad you know me.
Aw, Avery. We all remember when you were born, little girl. You're pretty precious to all of us. Okay, Mamas of Hope. Not in 2 days, Tuesday. It's on November 16th, the third Tuesday of every month. We've met twice so far. I've really enjoyed getting to know you all in a deeper way and share some of our journeys together. Really, what this is generation to generation to generation. We all need each other. Mamas, grandmas, those who desire to be mamas, we all need each other. This is not, this isn't a clique. This isn't come together and talk about all the problems we have with our kids, this isn't a parenting class, or your husband. This isn't a parenting class. This is coming together and cultivating our relationship with the Lord and with each other. I shared this with the ladies the first time we met. The first I remember before I got married that people used to say, like, don't go looking for your husband, like, go chasing after the Lord. And when you're running steady and fast, look over and see who's running with you, right? It's the same thing in our relationships with each other. Like, we need each other, and God created us to be in community. but we need him too. And that which is cultivated in him is strong enough to remain. And so this is just, it's a time for us to be encouraged, to spur each other on, to connect with each other, to pray with each other. Like, hey, what are you contending for? I want to fight with you. You're holding out hope for your kids. You're holding out hope for a baby. You're holding out hope for whatever. Like, hey, I want to be in that fight with you. So November 16th, 6 o'clock here, my one thing, I have people ready to wash your kids if you need it, but I don't want to ask them to come if no one's bringing kids. So I am more than happy to have them. I just want you to tell me ahead of time, before that day, if you need childcare, and I will have it ready for you, okay? Just let me know.
Wasn't sure if I was going to share this or not, but I was like, God, give me a sign, and then she said the word generation. We sang that song about 1,000 generations. And I just want to read you a scripture. In Deuteronomy 7:9 says, now therefore that the Lord your God is God, he is faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love and keep his commandments. So I looked up the word, what the definition of a generation is. It's about a 20 to 30 year period. And so I just kind of did some, I like numbers. Say we have 7,000 years, 7,000 years. That's only right now 233 to 350 generations have existed. Now, I don't know if that's God's word definition of generation, but a generation is a circle of time. That's kind of what the Hebrew word means. But I just want us to think about that as far as his love extends 1,000 generations. It's basically, in my mind, like three times what has already existed on this world. I mean, it's a lot. You know, no matter what generation you're part of, I probably grew up in the generation of bad hair, weird clothes, but good music. I like 80s music was awesome, I have to say. But, I actually had a pair of MC Hammer pants, if you could believe it. I graduated in silver MC Hammer pants. Can't touch this. But God's love extends to that generation and all the generations forward, to my kids' generations, to the who knows how many generations after this. I mean, who knows when the Lord's going to return. But his love is beyond our imagination of what a generation can be. So I just want you to take that in and just to really think about, just because we sing that song, 1,000 generations, and we don't even think about, wow, that's just huge. We don't even think about it. It's like we have to really realize what we're actually saying. So, kids, are you ready? You ready? No running on the ramp. You can walk on the ramp, but no running. Miss Sanders back in the back there. You're all dismissed, and then we just take time to greet each other and prepare for the wonderful word of the Lord.